This whole series, who knows how long it's going to go, is about reading the Old Testament. It's the stuff that's, there's stuff in there for us. And as you read through it, which I think most of you are, or have, or do, or whatever, I'm hoping that you also realize that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it should happen to you as also while you're reading the Old Testament. It's actually working in you. It isn't just Paul's books that should get on your case while you're reading, or encouragement, or comfort, or rebuke, or reproof, or correction, or instruction, or righteousness. It's Old Testament too. But as you're reading through Joshua, get Joshua and Judges mixed up lately. As we go through Joshua, I wonder what you think about when you're reading that stuff. What does that do for you? What do you get out of the book of Joshua, for example, here? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep your fingers in Joshua there. So we know that this entire book is the Word of God. It's the truth. It's in truth, as it says. So it's not the Word of man. It's the Word of God. And no matter what you're reading in this book, God should be able to be showing you something. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that's the classic verse we go to show us that Paul reminds us that we can get stuff out of the Old Testament. Now all these things happened to them for examples. I mean, we can learn from these people. God isn't going to do to us what he did to them. To me, that's the biggest thing I'm thankful for when I read these things and I think, oh man, I've done that. I've thought that. I'd be dead by now. I probably would have died a gruesome death in some cases. So it helps me realize what the Lord... So then I don't start thinking about myself. I start thinking, well, the Lord did that. He took that punishment right there. And so I look at these things, especially in Joshua. Because Joshua is a war book. I mean, man. And I know that you know some of the stories in there, and it's good to review. It's been a while since we've been back there, actually. And it was really kind of eye-opening for me, eye-reminding to me, or eye-poking, or whatever. Because those are some serious, serious war battles. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we would still be having those kind of war battles. That's how I see this. Because he's the one that came and brought peace. Now, I know it's not a physical peace as such. He brought a peace to people. And I realize that the Great Commission and stuff was fulfilled, et cetera, et cetera. And Paul has a peace for us as a person. But you realize that even just the righteousness of God that Jesus Christ is, but even knowing what it is to do right has restructured the entire world. Otherwise, this is the way it would be. And as we get further and further away from Christ, and as we get further and further away from God, as we get further and further away from, halfway doing right, this is where we're headed. This is where the world is headed. And reading just a little bit of that book, what's it called? This is Hate, or Because They Hate. Reading some testimonies of what this person went through as a 10-year-old. Who's 10? John, how old are you?
Eight.
Anybody 10-ish? I guess... Okay, two more years, and the story of how this person's life in the Middle East, Lebanon, what that lifestyle was like, we have no clue. And yet, we're headed back to that. This world is headed back to this, because it's already taken place in the Middle East. Well, it's never quit in the Middle East. Now, it is not up to biblical proportions, but it's still there. So I fear for our kids. Come on in. We will pause for the oversleepers. There's overcomers, and there's overdoers, and there's oversleepers. And so we can learn from Joshua on truthful history. Because when you read history, you don't know. I mean, everybody's got their 2 cents on the historical aspect of history. You can get a marvelous book of history from Beckett. You can get it from Bob Jones. You can get it from Rotten Guns. And yet everyone is just a snake. You can get some DVDs, you can get some movies and videos, and you can't argue with a video. I mean, there it is. But their commentary, you've probably seen the same picture and different commentary, kind of a thing. But when you're reading the Old Testament, in our case today, Joshua, we are reading history in detail, truthful. And it just looks to me like this is exactly where the world has been. There was a great time of Christianity growing, and then it's going right back to this thing. Why would we ever go back to something like this? Well, as far as I can tell, remember the two things we talked about, love of money, and then wrongly dividing the scriptures that the Christians have had for all these years. Started off really good because obviously Jesus' way in the Gospels was a clean way, but it hasn't lasted because it can't last. So if they would have gotten into the Paul thing, I do believe that we would be headed back this way. But history is history and prophecy is prophecy. The Lord knew it was coming because it's already written in the future of history. Isn't that fun to think you can read history, tomorrow's history? Really isn't history, but it's still history. Because as far as John's concerned, it's already happened. Boy, you got enough stuff in history class already without looking about what's coming in the future history. You know. So, we're looking at examples here that we should learn from these people still. And as you read through Joshua and Judges and all these Old Testament books, God should still work in you, for you, about something in your life, even reading this stuff. Now, let's just go to chapter 1, I guess. I tell you, this stuff is hard to generalize. It's very difficult to do that generalization stuff. We see Joshua. We see, like this here, something you see in Joshua and Judges, actually, kind of the same, is you see a lot of death. And you see them in huge numbers. And they're gruesome. They're just gruesome. And they're gross. There's just some wild things that take place in here. And again, what I see, not only just applying the fact that this is the way the world's headed again, is I see the modern Christians, the Great Commission crowd, talking this way. They are in the mode, the mental mode, of thinking we still need to conquer. Christianity needs to conquer this world. And it doesn't. It just doesn't. And I got to thinking the word conquer, and I thought right away of Paul when he says convince. Not even convict, but convince. Convict is to really put the screws down and really scare them to death and really get them to be convicted. But we don't see that word like that. I got to thinking about some words. I went through this alliteration burst I get every once in a while. The modern Old Testament Great Commission concepts, Gospels, the words you find in those books are conquer, confuse, confound, condemn, comfortless, conflict, contradictions, contend, commandments, corrupt, and conceit. You see that those are things that are the result of the Joshua-styled Christianity. You need to conquer. You need to condemn this. You're going to have a conflict. You're going to contend. You're going to fight is what it's going to be. And you all need to be a Joshua and get out there and I know that there's application spiritually in the whole thing. We need to be brave and courageous, da-da-da-da. But you see with Paul, you see words like consider, convince, content, conversation, that's your walk, comfort, confidence, commend, complete, that's the book, and consolation. And I just realized it's just a totally different thing. And then right away I go through this can't be this way, because it sounds an awful lot like the modern crowd, the lovey-dovey guys. But then you realize, well, Paul's not lovey-dovey. He's got grace and truth. And the modern lovey-dovey guys are full of grace, as they call it, as they think. There's absolutely no truth. So that's the scary thing in some ways for me, is to realize Paul is leaning towards what the modern crowd has got, but the modern crowd doesn't have a truth. Well, isn't that how the devil operates? He'll take something that's true and give an imitation of it to keep somebody from being saved or giving God glory or whatever. So the more and more I see about Paul's gospel words and his direction and his manner of living, I see the modern crowd, they're being snookered into thinking that that's what they've got. They have no scriptural support for how they stand, but it's there. But they don't have it. The devil has imitated it. And we don't want to get into the route where the devil will then take the guys that got the book and they'll turn them into conquering Joshuas. And they go out in the street and they'll do their big number and they'll kill people verbally and they'll bash people and if you come up with this, you come up with conflicts all the time. You come up with contradictions in the Bible. I mean, all these words, conceive, which we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes, confound, because people are confused. And you don't see that stuff anymore. So, with that in mind, what can we get from Joshua? Well, we can get from Joshua the fact that we don't want to be this way. But yet, there's kind of a view. Now here, for example, I've got some key words. They're not key words, but some interesting words that kept coming up as I was reading through this thing. And one of them was thousand. Here's just a couple of examples. And this is just in Joshua. 40,000 prepared for war. That's a lot of people. And they didn't have, that I'm aware of, I don't think they had all these tanks and Humvees and jets and these tanker airplanes. I mean, they must have some pretty big cannons, I think. Of course, they didn't have all the ammo to carry. They just had the little swords and stuff. 3,000 men. So there went up thither of the people 3,000 men. Joshua 8, 30,000 mighty men of valor. Then the word valor keeps popping up here. So I did a quick look on the word valor. Valor is strength of mind in regard to danger. The quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage. Then I looked it up, and I had to do it a couple times. I thought I brought it with me. Oh, it's only from Joshua to Nehemiah, the word valor. It's nowhere else. So we're not told to be that brave thing today from Paul. Well, we need to still be brave. Yeah, but Paul talks about boldness, and he talks about confidence. And there's a difference if you think about something like that. So valor pops up there a number of times. Took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush. Now, how can 5,000 people sit in an ambush and you don't recognize there's something different down that road? 5,000 people. And it's in the desert. Must have been. And so it was, all fell that day, both of men and women, 12,000. We can't get over the tower going down. The 3,000, that's a big hit. So 1,000 is a big word that pops up in there. I've got host. Host kept coming up in Joshua. Host. Now, you hear the word host. What do you think of? Hostess, cupcake. And you're close, because what do the Catholics call that little dessert thing that they take all the time? The host. That's the host. They're like cupcakes. Squashed, demoisturized, de-evaporated, flattened, unleavened. Hostess Twinkies is what those things are. They go in there, I suppose. Slew, S-L-E-W. Smote, gods, small g. And a number of times he talks about Israel and evil in the same sentence. In other words, his people are not doing well at times. Okay. These are stories of valor, of bravery. Anytime I've ever seen some of these old, you know, the new movies of the old days fighting the Vikings and whoever those guys are, the Braveheart crowd, and they got the swords and the shields, and they got these 50 gazillion arrows going through the air, arcing over, and he's got all these sticks flying at you, and you run up to somebody, you're gonna get a huge sword right through the gut if you can't stop him. And there's a guy behind you gonna lop your head right off. Swords. Man, I'm for fighting in at least 100 yards distance. If I'd ever been in the war, Marines, and the guy would have said, okay, bayonet, I go, oh man, I am dead. It's a bayonet thing. Hand to hand, that's terrible. And this is all they had to do. But they were thrilled to come up with what do you call it, automatic bow, crossbow thing. Much faster. But they were thrilled that somebody invented that little thing. Stories of valor, stories of fear in here. Whining, I bet you're thinking of some stories. Spoiled people, disobedience, rebellion, and yet there's also obedience. And there's plenty of doubt Lord, I just don't know if I should do this. Show me a sign. Gives him a sign. Well, I just don't know if that's really from you. Here's another one. I just can't get it. Can you do it again? So we're just the same. We know 1,000 times over that this book is the Word of God. I mean, we haven't the slightest doubt. You're so strong in that thing that you could even go to that thing about that which is perfect. That which is perfect is come. You are solid on that book, and yet sometimes we still go, do you really think I should do that? Why am I thinking this way? We're just like them. Here's a thought that kind of helps bring Joshua to today. This is from Haley's Handbook. If anybody, y'all got a Haley's Handbook? That is a marvelous little. That's got some Bible corrections in there. And I wish they wouldn't do that because then that just loses a lot of confidence in that book. But when it comes to history, what are you going to do? It's just good biblical history, I suppose. Talks about the religion of the Canaanites, and this is some of the battles they had. Baal was their principal god. Ashtoreth, Baal's wife, was a principal goddess. She was the personification of the reproductive principle in nature. Ishtar was her Babylonian name. Astarte is her Greek and Roman name. Now, this sounds like today to me, because I remember in the cartoons years ago, they started coming up with these Greek goddesses and gods' names in the cartoon world for kids. Ishtar, I can't think of that one. The first, Isis, remember Isis or something? Asherah was a sacred pole, a cone of stone or a tree trunk representing the goddess. And I just, does that, any picture pop up in your mind all of a sudden? A wooden trunk card with things? The totem pole stuff. The worship of Baal, Ashtoreth, and other Canaanite gods consisted in the most extravagant orgies. Their temples were centers of vice, prostitution type stuff. Well, it just sounds like today. We got music that encourages that thing. That really, that's the whole design of the beat of the rock music when it first came out, rock and roll. That music is no longer called rock and roll, but that music is in the churches, in the temples as such. It's come in to those kinds of things. And, you know you're hurting for news when the main headlines in the paper is Britney Spears cuts her hair off. She goes bald. And then I wonder how many teenage girls are going to start going around bald, I suppose. I don't think they figure her out by now.
She's ugly.
Oh, yeah. It's just. Oh, hey, speaking of ugly. Come on in. Yeah, right. Boy, talk about a bad entrance. I wasn't looking over there when I said that. I want you to know that. Okay. Now we got to keep going here. This, I'll tell you about a trip to Target later. I just can't go to town. You guys at work, I just can't imagine. You get some real lulus coming in there, don't you? And you still want them to sell on my couch, I guess. You have to, you know. Here's one that bothers me a lot, though. They sacrificed their firstborn children to Baal. Jars containing remains of babies have been found. Foundational sacrifices. I know this has been considered. A child is built into the wall to bring good luck to the rest of the family for that household. No, that's a thought. We're going to put out a new edition, and we'd like to have, let's see here, Sam. We would like you to bless the rest of our life together, so would you call right in here? And ignore the little raven that's on the shelf up there, or the clock tick, 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 or whatever. And they've even found pornography and stones and things. I mean, there's been pornography around forever. And my point is we are headed back to the days of Joshua, with the Arabs and the Israelites, all that stuff going on, and the dirtiness of the whole thing. It's just an amazing thing to me. Now, that takes care of that. Boy, this is not going to get it all done at all, are we, this morning here? Save that for a couple minutes here. What? Okay, we'll skip that. We'll just skip all these, because these are just word studies of words that popped up. Well, I tell you, these are called bunny trails, personal bunny trails. Just amazing. A marvelous book. Marvelous, marvelous book beyond our understanding. Oh, it's all in there. If you just take the time to jump, he'll show you some stuff that is just really wild. You what now?
I'm hard pressed to find the lead time to actual peace for some war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the United Nations didn't exist then. You know, the peace company, you know. Yeah, there's been, we know that the war will end when the Lord comes down and runs, but he's still going to have to run it with an iron rod for a while. Then he's going to find, you know, this is really over and done with. Burn, melt, fire, and then it's going to be hunky-dory. But yeah, there's always been war. But, man, can you imagine if 12,000 people were killed today? What would go on? And it could happen. It really could happen. I got caught back up in some of that World Trade Center stuff, videos, and watching them just a little bit yesterday. Oh man, we just don't know. We really don't know what's going on, do we? Behind the scenes. That is so convincing. It's just amazing. Okay, so we got the conquering mentality. So we go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And I know that people have put verses up on our houses out of Joshua. For example, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Which is fine. And we can change it to the King James Bible, the book. We can do that if we'd like. But then look at the rest of that sentence. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that is not true today. Now, you will prosper. You'll be prosperous because whatever happens, you can handle it. You can deal with it. You'll smile through it. Praise the Lord. And yeah, you've got peace about the whole thing. And success, sure, you're happy in the Lord. But that doesn't mean you're going to live in a nice house, have all your bills paid, no credit, da, 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 da. And that's where people go with that stuff. And they'll say, see, if you get yourself saved, God promised you an abundant life. Well, you know, you probably only had, if you truly get saved, Scott, you probably have to go to work tomorrow and sell the whole furniture store in one day and you can quit. Because God will do that for me. If you promise to tithe it to the church, I'll see to it that that happens. That's what they do. That is totally what they do. I don't have the time this morning to tell you about this new guy. He's been on Newsweek and all the major news reports and everything. He says he's Jesus Christ, and it's just, and you read about this stuff, I'm going to give it to you in the sermon this morning a little bit. Just, I mean, the guy's going to be nuts. This is America, but he gets the followers. Okay, so what are some things in Joshua that we know take place? I mean, what do you get out of Joshua? I mean, I got scribbles, and I got some. I don't need to tell everybody what I get out of here. I mean, I can, I guess. I got scribbles all over this thing. Be strong and of a good courage in chapter 1, verse 6. Well, of course, but we're not looking for physical battles. But you got kids. And then, now seriously, most parents are afraid of their children as they get older. They get afraid of those older kids. Better hurt them, I guess. I don't know. How about chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. I got to thinking on this one a little bit. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. That's true, right? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, what would we say there? God is in thee. Totally different. So we ought to really have no excuse for not being brave and courageous to step off into serving God or different job or whatever or in life. I mean, you know, we got God in us. And he will help us make some decisions. Blah, blah, blah. There goes your sermon. But it's far more than just with thee. Because in this day, he wasn't always what? With thee. Depending upon whether you're walking the walk and obeying the commandments and da-da-da-da. Well, of course, down in verse 16, well, we know this to be totally true. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. Oh, excuse me? Can we get out the record book for a couple minutes here? I think you failed class. So we'll be hearkening to thee. Well, they were true there. As they hearkened unto Moses, they hearkened. You know, that's true. But they didn't. But look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Well, we skip that verse. Let's go back and let's preach up a good sermon on 16 and 17, but let's not do 18. Then you got your kids that come along and they read 16 and 17 and 18, and they see mom and dad doing some really dumb things, or the pastor or the neighbors or scout or somebody doing some really dumb things, saying some bad things, looking at some bad things, and they wonder why mom and dad haven't been killed already. Or Scott, or me. Then they get enough of that, and they finally do what? I don't think this thing makes any sense at all. I think I'm going to go with the Quran, because those guys are far more courageous than we are. Or whatever the goal is. Go to the church that takes better care of you, like Jerry always wants to do. Go to the church that's got 10 people in the countryside, and here's this humongous church. They got all the activities you want to do. I'm going to go there. Oh, well. Just things. Let's, I'll back up. Now, what do you get when you read Joshua? Be courageous and say something. What do you get when you read through Joshua? Long pause for a commercial on the website. I mean, it's been a while since you read it. Okay, let's look up at verse, let's go to chapter. Here, no, let me do this here. In this book, you've got the spies and Rahab, the cross of Jordan. Oh, that's a neat story. Because when do the waters part? When they step in. When does the Red Sea part? When Moses tells it to. Put your hands up and all that kind of stuff. I think this story about crossing the Jordan is really exciting, because sometimes you want God to show you something. He's shown it to you, but you got to put your foot in. And then he'll part the problems and life just goes on a dream. But sometimes we got to just make that step. You got the whole Bible telling you this is the way it ought to be. And you got your foot just ready, but just not quite. And these guys, and then it's very clear that they had to step down. That's a neat story. Do you get anything out of that? That's what I get out of that thing. You might make the step, come on. If you step in there and the floods keep flooding you over and you get drowned, you know that wasn't the right step. You learn your lesson, and you get out of there, and you get, because what's he going to do for you? Come on, I'll get you out of there. I'm the helicopter and the boat. Come on out of there, I'll help you. And then think a little better next time before you put that foot in there, kind of a thing. There's all sorts of preaching you can get out of that thing. The memorial stones. What do you get out of that? Anybody know that story? That's chapter 4. Put these things in there because every time I want the kids to know what went on here. I'll have taken care of you. Do you have any? I think I preached a long time ago. What do you have hanging around your home or your life and your testimony that your kids will hang on? That's why I say to some folks that have lost their families that, well, listen, you stay in your book. Make sure that thing is, you live that book according to Paul, and you just live your life according to Paul. And that's, if that's all you got for your kids to see, they will see that when you die. That they will have at least seen that you were serious about your book. You may have messed up like everybody else, but that book was the Word of God. And they know that you read it, and you wouldn't do some things because you didn't have time, you had to read it. And you stuck in that book, and that's a memorial for your kid. That's a stone that the kid will remember someday. What else do you do? I remember when back she moved to the Denver thing, she said, yeah, I just had to go to church on Wednesday nights. We just always had done that. And that's a habit. That you go to habits, so you're starting your children into that they want out of it, but when they get out of it, they know they're not comfortable. You've established a memorial. See, there's still some things we can learn from Joshua that we can still do in our lives. They kept the Passover, the first thing they did when they got out, chapter 5. How about chapter 6, the fall of Jericho? I like that one. What a neat way to knock down a wall. How many people were in that little troop? the armed men and just they go around the thing, but they had to be quiet. Before then, the band struck up a chord, probably Stars and Stripes Forever, banging their pitchers and stuff and everything.
I think it's really interesting. We already have that in the family.
Right. And she got off the hook. We still on sound wise? So they just pulled up. Okay, so they clicked the, pulled on the cord or something. Right? Look at verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. That right there is a hard command. We're gonna sneak over to Sue and Lewis's tonight. Let's park about a block away, and we'll just kind of sneak in there. We could do that. Kids. And the ladies and the guys will be yakking away and everything. It's just, you know.
It says in verse 3,
yeah, that's thousands of guys. I mean, Joshua rose early in the morning. There's another problem right there. He's an early morning kind of guy. Verse 17, there's Rahab, the harlot shall live. She and all that were with her in the house. Yeah, but she was, yeah, I know, but, you know, things are different those days. Okay, look at verse 21. Now, that's a serious thing. That's God's people here. And so people get really shook when they hear about, when they think about war in the Middle East and stuff. Well, but you know what's going on over there? Still nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to what their history is. A couple hundred here and there, 1,000 maybe, but well, this world would come unglued if 1,000 died one day in some kind of a deal over there. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, an ass with the edge of the sword. Oh, what a horrible way to go. Young and old. Young and old. I can understand the old. And sometimes I can understand the young. But wipe them all out. Why are we not winning over there? Because we're trying to pick the bad out of the crowd. We could just level the Middle East, get rid of that hatred because we're doing it in love. You know, and self-defense, and we're going to preach God's message, we're going to preach Christianity, true Christianity in this world, and we're going to destroy that crowd that's attacking us, and that's how we win, and that's never going to happen today. I mean, they went into Germany, they just, anything that just moved just was obliterated, was all the this neat stuff to watch. Now look at verse 10, chapter 7. A lot of people do this. God says, get up, get busy. I'm a great prayer warrior. I know, but get up and get something done. Get out there and do some stuff. I mean, there's just so many things to apply for us in here. Look at chapter 7, verse 21. I've got written in my notes here, shopping. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. I just have shoplifting and shopping on the side of my thing here. Just. Okay. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Now, Paul talks about that separation thing, too.
That was the time to do over there.
Well, just turn your back to it. Yeah, well, we're about to do that. Sure. Yep. Look at 24, same chapter. Getting back to the shoplifting situation here. 24, and Joshua the Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? What'd you go to the mall for? What'd you go to Costco for? I mean, come on. And all Israel stoned him. There you go. Stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Now that is an attitude. To kill a guy, then kill him again and stomp him and kill him again and stomp him again. That guy has got a little bit of desire in there to hurt somebody. And they raise him over a great heap of stones. There are just so many things in here. Chapter 10, verse 13, and the sun did what? Stood still. There's guys that argue that today. Well, that shows that the earth is going around the sun, and the sun's going around the earth. I don't know. I know one thing. I'm here, and I've read arguments on both sides, and then they put the guilt trip on you. Yeah, but if you're a Bible believer, you go by the Bible only. Well, you know, science isn't totally done. I mean, you can't go from here and land on the moon, take off when the moon's here, and get here when the moon gets here. I mean, you're shooting the moon's over here. Good timing. Scientists didn't do too bad. Unless, of course, we never went to the moon. Then you got that crowd. Ah! How are your children doing, by the way? Well, most of my kids are left and mad at me and da-da-da-da. Well, you know, that's what happens. Is that not what happens? People get into this stuff, and their family falls apart. But they know that the sun revolves around the earth. Okay. Well, we'll just have to stop right here.